Hello, I'm Morris Powell. Welcome to A Little Light Music, Manx Radio's regular Thursday evening classical music hour. To start our concert this evening, music by the great French composer Sassan. This is his March Militaire Francais. It's actually a movement from his Suite Algérienne in 1880, which is a kind of musical postcard, really, from southern climes, as one commentator put. Sassan was an incredible character. He spoke several languages, had all sorts of interests, and absolutely loved Africa, particularly North Africa, and travelled there several times. So the Suite Algérienne is actually a very colourful and exotic piece. Here, anyway, is the March Militaire Français. Exciting stuff. Sassan, March Militaire Francais from the Suite Algérienne of 1880. Never less than interesting. His violin concertos and piano concertos are wonderful. And, of course, the Third Symphony, the so-called Organ Symphony, because it has a part for a church or a cathedral organ in with the orchestra, is a wonderful piece. And was performed in the Villa Marina by the Isle of Man Symphony Orchestra. I believe we did a sort of a French programme, an all-French programme, culminating with that Sasson organ symphony. It was a very nice evening. I seem to remember music by Debussy as well and Berlioz. So, something completely different now, very much in the light music field, but by an American composer of light music who's so familiar to us that I suspect most listeners have always felt he was simply a British light music composer. I'm talking about Leroy Anderson, born in 1908, died 1975. He was a composer and arranger and wrote in many diverse styles, as the back of my CD cover tells me. But of course, listen to any four or five of his pieces and you can see that a lot of his pieces are novelty pieces, very tongue-in-cheek, and he does seem to assimilate lots of different styles. Well, here's a fairly well-known piece, but which I haven't heard on the radio for quite some years now. This is The Typewriter, written in 1950. I'm sure many of you will recognise it. Leroy Anderson's The Typewriter. Short piece there by Leroy Anderson, The Typewriter. And I think we've got room in the programme for another couple of his short pieces. One thing about light music, you have to admit, it never outstays its welcome. And that could very easily become a tune worm. If it does, I apologise for that, but these tune worms do eventually wear off. Now for something of a pastoral nature and some real English music, I'm going to play the English Idyll No. 1 by George Butterworth. George Butterworth was one of the great might-have-beens of English music, a contemporary of Elgar and Vaughan Williams. He was sadly killed during the First World War by a sniper on the Somme. He left a handful of wonderful works, and of course it leaves us wondering what he might have achieved if he'd have survived the war. Well, we shall never know. But the music he has left is amazing. There are two English idylls, of course. The Banks of Green Willow, a lovely orchestral piece, and a rhapsody on a Shropshire lad. His masterpiece is probably the song cycle, A Shropshire Lad, which is very moving, poignant even today. So, George Butterworth then, English Idyll No. 1, composed in 1911, a year or two before most people, I suspect, had any idea the horror that was going to be visited upon them just a few years later. Thank you. The English Idyll No. 1 by George Butterworth. And now for something, rather interesting, I hope you'll agree. My brother-in-law, a fount of knowledge on popular music and all things to do with the world of entertainment, came up with an idea that why don't I find some popular recordings by popular stars, pop groups or pop singers, based on pieces of classical music. And to back up this excellent suggestion, he actually produced a selection for me of popular songs based, as I say, on popular classical pieces. Now, I did play one. I think we had some Rachmaninoff sung by Frank Sinatra, swiftly followed by the real piece of music, if you see what I mean, played by a fabulous Russian pianist, just before Christmas. So here's the second sort of foray into this idea, which I do think is really excellent, and it's made me listen to all sorts of things I wouldn't normally listen to. Now, the classical piece in mind is the famous chorale by Bach, Jesu Joy of Man's Desiring, which we'll hear presently. But the Beach Boys recorded a version of this in 1979 as Lady Linda, and it appeared on the Light album and as a single reached number 7 in the UK charts. So, here is Bach, based on Jesu Joy of Man's Desiring, by the Beach Boys, 1979. Let's just hear a snatch before we turn back to the old boy himself.
Lady Linda, with me, lady, we can talk.
part there of Lady Linda by the Beach Boys. And the song was actually written by Al Jardine, a member of the group, whose wife at the time was called Linda. But sadly, 3 years later, the pair were involved in a very messy divorce. And the lyrics were then rewritten as Lady Liberty. So, a little bit of bark there at the beginning. I must confess, my foot was tapping away there quite happily. But let's just see. Here's Jesu, Joy of Man, Desiring. This is more or less what Bach actually wrote. Bach, Jesu Joy of Man's Desiring, from his cantata number 147. Of course, some of you will be saying, wait a minute, that isn't exactly what Bach originally wrote. All right, hands up, I admit that. The original from the cantata, of course, was accompanied by orchestra with a very exhausting to play oboe solo. But we heard it there with the choir of St John's College, Cambridge, and the organist, a very fine organist, was Peter White. So I hope you enjoyed that. Beach Boys and Bach, not often heard together, except, of course, on Manx Radio, where almost anything goes. Now, if you've just tuned in, you're very welcome. You're listening to me, Maurice Powell, and this is A Little Light Music, and we've had music so far by Sasson, Leroy Anderson, George Butterworth, and as I just said earlier, the Beach Boys and Bach. And now to Mozart and the kind of a concerto spot, really. We're going to hear part of a concerto or concertante by Mozart, or maybe not by Mozart, we'll come on to that in a bit, for four wind instruments and orchestra, flute, oboe, horn and bassoon. Now this work, the original version of it, which is definitely lost, was written in Paris in 1778, a very disappointing and disillusioning time for Mozart. He was in Paris with his mother, acting as a kind of a chaperone, and he was looking for some kind of court appointment or something lucrative, maybe an opera commission, something like that. But pretty much everything went wrong. The time just wasn't right, and also Mozart said some pretty unkind things about French music and the French, so it's hardly surprising they didn't quite take to him. He was not the most diplomatic of composers, but then aged, just about 21, with everyone telling you you're the greatest composer Europe has ever seen, it's perhaps difficult not to be a little arrogant. Anyway, things didn't work out, and he didn't write nearly as much music in Paris as he intended. So what did he write? A wonderful piano sonata, a violin sonata, some choruses for somebody else's choral work, which are unfortunately lost, a pity, because they were said to be marvellous, and this concerto. Now, Mozart had got to know three fabulous wind players from the Mannheim Orchestra, plus the famous horn virtuoso Giovanni Punto, whose real name was Wenzel Stich. I'm not surprised he changed it to Giovanni Punto, but he was known as simply the finest horn player in Europe. These four players were all together in Paris, and they asked Mozart to write something for them, which he did. Unfortunately, Mozart's score of this particular piece has been lost. There may have been a bit of skullduggery involved. We're not really sure. Later on in the 19th century, they published a concerto for a similar group of wind instruments and put Mozart's name on it, although it doesn't really sound very much like Mozart, to be quite honest, and was probably the work of a publisher's hack. There's just an outside chance that some of the music may be by Mozart and may be from this lost work, but nobody's absolutely certain. So enter musicologists, particularly Robert Levin, who took this work from the 19th century, which is almost certainly not by Mozart, and reconstructed it as if it had been written by Mozart. He scored it for the original instruments, flute, oboe, horn and bassoon, rewrote the orchestral parts in a much more Mozartian style. And what we're left with is the kind of piece that Mozart probably did write for these great players. Well, enough of talking. Let's hear some of this wonderful music. And the players, let me just read out their names because they are quite exceptional. If I can just find them. It's finding their names, isn't it, on a CD case. Here we are. So the flute player is Aurelie Nicolai. The oboist is Heinz Holliger. The horn player, Hermann Baumann. And the bassoonist, Klaus Thunemann. This, then, is the slow movement from Mozart's supposed concertante for those instruments. Thank you. The slow movement of a concertante, which may or may not be in part by Mozart, written in Paris in 1778 and reconstructed by the musicologist Robert Levin. I think it's quite convincing. It's a lovely piece of music, whoever wrote it, but in its sort of more sympathetic orchestral garb, it's quite like Mozart, and it's quite like Mozart of that sort of pre-Viennese period. I'm very much persuaded that there is some Mozart in that survived from this lost work and now presented for us in a way that Mozart might have actually written it. A most interesting piece. Let's go back to Leroy Anderson. Let's have another one of his pieces. We need something on the lighter side, I think. This is called Serenata, written in 1950, and it has a very lush melody over a kind of a mock Spanish rhythm. Serenata by Leroy Anderson.
Thank you.
The delightful Serenade by Leroy Anderson. And now for something for the choral singers amongst you, and a piece I don't think very many people will know. I'm going to play the Kyrie, the opening movement of Carl Maria von Weber's Jubel Mass, the Jubilee Mass, written for the Golden Wedding of the King of Saxony. It's kind of a little bit like Haydn meets Schubert, but with lovely orchestration, which is a characteristic of all Weber's music. Best known, I suppose, for the opera Der Freischütz, the free shooter, about someone who forges magic bullets in order to win a competition to win the girl. Well, you can imagine that doesn't work out too well. However, the Jubel Mass, one of three masses that Weber wrote, and I think in many ways this is the most attractive. Here then is the Kyrie from Weber's Jubel Mass.
Thank you.
The Kyrie, the first section of Weber's Jubel Mass, the Jubilee Mass. So we've really nearly come to the end of the programme. I hope you've enjoyed my selection this evening. We've been fairly wide-ranging, I think, certainly with a bit of Beach Boys in there. Might just listen to that on the way home in the car. You never know. And, of course, the Saint-Saëns that we opened with. I'm going to look out for a more substantial piece by Saint-Saëns for a programme in the near future. We did have a movement from one of his very inventive, not to mention frenetic, piano concertos a few weeks back. But he also wrote a number of symphonies, apart from the great Third Symphony. The symphonies numbers 1 and 2 are by no means sort of student works, not worth bothering about. They're very, very interesting indeed. So I'll look out something, and of course there's the violin concertos as well. I think I'll leave Samson and Delilah to the opera programme. That's more that kind of repertoire. So, what should we get to now? Something to play us out with. Let's go back to Leroy Anderson and a particular favourite of mine, because it's so silly that you can't help loving this piece. This is the Waltzing Cat. So I'll say farewell. Please join me again next week for some more music. I don't know what we'll have in next week. Oh, I have found a very interesting piece of Elgar for you and some Massenet. Or one or two other things as well. I think the name Gluck seems to be scrawled down here. So maybe the programme's a bit further advanced than I thought. So to play us out then, Leroy Anderson, The Waltzing Cat. In the meantime, goodbye.